What is up, boys and girls, and everything in between? It's Bear With Us. I am Matt. She is Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
Alive and well.
We promised a big show because we didn't do a show last week. And I'm going to start this episode. I'll take all the heat that we are liars.
Sorry about that.
Not intentionally.
No.
And I feel like a lie that wasn't intended is not necessarily to be held against you.
Right. And we're being honest now.
We had the best of intentions.
We did.
Last week, we couldn't record because of a litany of reasons.
Sure.
But before we get into why, let's talk about the good things that went down this week that we did not have to lie about.
The last 2 weeks, actually, because it's been 2 weeks since we've been in here. We adopted another cat. How exciting.
Our home is slowly evolving into the new Pittsburgh Zoo.
I'm basically like Dr. Doolittle, I feel.
It's a bit much.
We adopted him from Steel City Adventure Cats.
That's correct.
And actually, to be honest, Matt, for the last, I don't know, since we adopted Pixel, we're sending each other pictures of cats every week. Like, oh, look at this one. Look at this one. Look at this one. He sent me this one last week and I was so obsessed. I commented on the photo right away. And then they messaged me and said, oh my gosh, thanks for commenting. I'm like, I need him in my life. And we went and met him and he just fell in love with us.
Now he lives in the dark spaces of our home.
Right. Well, he was roaming the streets. They don't even know how old he is. He's between 3 and 6 years old. They don't know how old he is. And he's only been living inside for about a week now. So, I mean, you can't really blame the guy.
He is very cool. However, at this particular juncture, he is still without an official name.
No, his name is Pyro.
No, it's not.
I've been calling him Pyro.
Who has anything named Pyro?
Exactly. So we're going to name him like Pumpkin or Peter, like most cats. No, this cat is different. He's street.
When have you ever met someone from the streets
Pyro.
Called Pyro? You just turned into Uncle Jesse as Vulture.
Yes!
Good Lord.
Okay, just because I work at the Smash Club does not mean you have to hate on me, okay?
Anyway.
I'm obsessed with Pyro. Pyro or Python, I've been also saying.
That's even worse.
Okay, so then you know what? Deal with it. That's
hey,
what I call
him. This is my dog, Chicken. No, it's...
Well, we have a fucking dog named Pancake.
Right.
Hello, that's pretty stupid.
Python for a cat
would be
the worst name.
It's hilarious. Well, that's why it's Pyro, because he's like smoke colored and it's like, you know, after the Pyro goes off, there's smoke in the air. Pyro. I love it.
It's a reach.
Anywho, so that's probably like the one good thing that's happened in the last few weeks.
I would say that's been the bright spot.
Right.
Because the last few weeks, even going back to the last time we recorded and brought you Bear With Us, things were a bit rocky.
They have been. We did that episode probably about a month ago, Get the Funk Out.
Right.
That was at least a month ago.
Yeah, it's been quite some time. And
it's been...
Full disclosure here, as we often like to bring you. We had big plans. Our producer, Emilio, had a pretty brilliant idea. And we're still going to bring it to you. I'm not even going to spoil it for you. It is coming, the big thing that we mentioned last week.
Can't we just disclose it?
I don't know. I like secrets. I like big reveals.
I think in order to get the context of what is happening between us and everything out there, I feel like we should explain.
Perfect.
So our producer had this brilliant idea of us going on a date and we record voice messages of what's happening throughout the date. You know, it's getting ready. And then once we get to dinner, we separate for a minute, maybe go into the bathroom, kind of give an update.
Kind of like real world confessionals.
Yeah. And just sort of like give each other's perspective on the date and how things are going, because we hadn't gone on a date in so long. So we thought, you know, it would be the perfect opportunity. So we were going to do that last week, but then we got into a huge fight. And then we were going to reschedule it for last Thursday when we were in Orlando. And we just felt like it was way more important for us as a couple to just actually go out and enjoy a date.
Let's not gloss over the fact. Yeah. Let's not undermine the magnitude of the fight.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
Let's be perfectly honest here. It was the worst fight that you and I have ever had as far as severity, not even necessarily content of the fight.
It no, was that's just... what it is. It's awful because it's not about the content. So this is what I'm going to say, right? We don't need to talk about what we're fighting about. But I think any couple can relate to one person in the relationship bringing up the past. And that to me is one of the worst things you can do in a relationship. For example, say Matt is upset with me about something from 2.5 years ago or whatever it was. But say it was Matt is mad at me about bananas, okay? And he is like, bananas, 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 bananas. And it's like, okay, this is not even something, A, that you should be mad about. Why the fuck are you mad about bananas? And now, every single time Matt and I get into a fight, whether it's we're fighting about a wood chipper, he's bringing up, well, what about the bananas? And I'm like, babe, I'm not even talking about fruit right now. I'm talking about a fucking wood chipper. And you're like, yeah, but what about bananas?
I mean, how much fun would it be to put a banana in a wood chipper?
Babe, but can you see what I'm saying? So then it's like, I can never get mad at Matt about anything.
Because I'm perfect.
In the present time, because I could be like, you know, I'm really mad at you about that garbage truck. I can't believe this happened with the garbage truck. He's like, yeah, but don't forget about the bananas. Why bring up the past? It's something that I feel like if you can't get over the bananas, then why are we in this relationship? And I think a lot of couples can relate to that because it's not healthy to live in the past. If you are truly upset about bananas and you are so mad about bananas and you can't get over it, then why are you with me?
Because I'm a gorilla.
But do you see what I'm saying? And it's like instead of ever facing the topic or the issue at hand, I feel like I'm never allowed to get mad at you or talk about something that's pissing me off in the moment. Because like, yeah, but don't forget about that one time with the bananas. No.
But since it's all in the rearview mirror now.
No, but wait. Okay. Let's not gloss over it.
I'm not.
It needs to be said because this is the underlying issue of our relationship, the bananas. So no matter what we fight about, no matter how wrong you could be, you still think you're right because you're mad about the bananas from whatever ago. It's not healthy. I feel like in a relationship for any couple, if you are going to live in the past, it's not going to be a healthy relationship. There has to be a point where you can let the bananas split. See what I did there?
You've been sitting on that all morning.
No, that literally just came to my mind.
Oh.
So that is the point I'm trying to make. I feel like no matter what, like when we get into a fight, I can't just get mad at you for anything.
I think that's more part of the issue now looking back in hindsight is that I think it angered you even more that you weren't allowed to just be mad uncontested.
No, when but I it argued wasn't uncontested. Back, it wasn't uncontested. I had every right to be mad.
Okay.
And you but don't even have to
going,
agree with it.
But no, instead but listen, of me going, oh, baby, I'm sorry, and groveling,
no, instead of you
went,
saying,
no okay.
no, okay, I don't, like, say I'm mad at you about pasta. And I'm like, I can't believe this happened with the fucking pasta. And instead of you saying, babe, that's fucking ridiculous, you're mad about pasta. Like, why are you mad about this? This is so insignificant. I don't even know why you're mad about this. You turn into, what about the fucking bananas? You can't just let me be mad, even if you agree with it or not.
Right,
you
that's
have
my
to,
point. I'm, I,
no,
you're,
but
you're
agreeing
saying
with
that, my point.
No, I'm not. Because you're saying that I'm just mad about anything that's just willy-nilly. Matt, no, there's something that actually pissed me off.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you were wrong for being pissed off. I'm saying it irked you even further that rather than me going, I'm sorry, you're right, I'm wrong,
no, but I didn't
F
need
me.
You to say sorry. I didn't need you to say sorry. I just needed you to have an argument with me about pasta, not about bananas. And that is not okay. Now, say there's something I've been mad at you about for however long that we've been together, and I'm bringing it up now, and you're talking to me about something else. You would be like, what the f***? That's not even what we're arguing about. Do you understand?
Sure.
You're saying sure, but honestly, you guys, bear with us. My bear club, I don't f***ing know what you guys are.
Wow.
Whatever you are to us, we don't have a nickname for you guys yet, but I need you to weigh in on this. I truly need you to weigh in. Is it okay to bring something up from the past that happened a long time ago in the present day about something you're not even fighting about? Is that okay? We're allowed to get mad about things that are happening in the present without bringing up the past. So that was what we've been dealing with. Because again, the last month we've just been at odds. Matt was in a funk. And prior to that, I was in a funk. And I just felt like we could not get out of this. And we'd have a few good days or a good week. And then it's like right back to fighting again. And we just could not get out of it. And I'm sure it doesn't help. We're in the middle of a pandemic. It doesn't help that, you know, we're together all day, every day. We work together. We travel together. So it's just been like one thing after another.
So things have sucked. And long story short, the come on a date with us idea will happen, but not for maybe a week or two. But it all started, like you started to say, in Orlando when we were initially going, hey, all right, we have to go on a date. We have to record this content. We have to have something to send so we can air it next week. And finally, cooler heads prevailed and we went, screw this. Let's get ourselves right. And we did.
Well, because we got into last Tuesday. So then on Wednesday, we barely spoke all day. Like Matt basically threw in the towel. He was not going to be in this relationship anymore is basically what, you know, you were saying to me. Am I right?
Yep.
We felt like our relationship needed repair. We felt like we needed to really be present and be in it. And I'm actually really happy we did that because we had a great fucking night.
It was great, and it is great on our end. However, it is probably going to make for the most boring podcast. We promised everybody something exciting, but I'm listening to us just rant and rave about how awful we are at arguing. People are like, oh my God, enough.
I feel like I want to know that we're not the only crazy ones. Why are we fighting so much? Like, even when we went out with our friends, like, she had said that her and her husband were fighting a lot more than they ever have before. So I feel like it's important to just, we're not this, I know we always try to portray that we're not this perfect couple and we have issues, but it's like, no, we're
like really not perfect.
Not at all. Like not even close. And sometimes I feel like, especially right now in the middle of this damn pandemic, it's okay. It's okay that we're not getting along all the time. Is to me, this is such a departure from like how we've ever been. We've always, you know, you have little arguments and bicker here and there, but for the most part, I feel like we always get along pretty great. So last week, to me, I was like, holy shit, are we going to make it through this? Like, why does this keep happening? Why are we continuing to fight? Why is this every little thing setting us off? And it was honestly making me nervous. I'm like, what are we going to do? Like, how are we going to get through it? But like, talking about last night, how we're going to address this today. And it's like, we have to push through it. We have to, as a couple, know that it's work and it's effort. And that's the only way that this is going to get better.
So we went on a date in Orlando and had quite the meal. I've heard of Beef Wellington. Never actually eaten Beef Wellington. Wasn't even entirely sure what Beef Wellington was. And then we went to this place and it changed my life altogether. And I don't believe I've eaten a real meal since then because nothing will quite compare to that.
It was so good. Everything was amazing. We had a great bottle of wine. We basically became sommeliers at dinner, would you say?
No, I don't agree with that assessment at all.
What? The gentleman poured us a little bit. We sniffed it. You know, we shot it back. You know, I was like, hints of blackberry and oak and dog fur. And you were like, I'm not tasting the dog fur, babe. I'm getting a little bit more of bison tongue.
Bison tongue? Bison tongue is delicious.
Have you had bison tongue?
I've eaten many kinds of tongue. I'm not afraid of it.
What other kind of tongue?
I think mostly beef tongue. Langue de boeuf in France. When I used to travel over there, we used to stop on these like highway rest stops, basically, that had cafeterias in them. And they always had langue de boeuf. And I didn't know what it was, but it was delicious. And I found out about halfway through the tour that it was beef tongue. And I am a fan.
Okay, but you said
you've
had a good
beef tongue taco?
Ugh, no. Beef tongue. Did we have something one time where we actually...
Lengua, it's called.
Had tongue, and I was like, this is disgusting.
I feel like we did.
We were somewhere. I forget where we were.
You got to get a beef tongue taco. It's a real good way to live.
But what other kind of tongues have you eaten? You said I've eaten many tongues.
I don't know. I've eaten many tongues. I've definitely eaten beef. Maybe bison. I mean, I don't know what other kind of tongues are eligible.
So many tongues. Well, you're the one who made the claim.
I tend to exaggerate from time to time.
Okay, so I digress. Here we go. We're talking about our sommelier experience. So we had a great dinner, and we went out for a drink afterwards. We found this little speakeasy in Orlando. It was a great time. And we ended up just, like, going back to the hotel and, like, we don't need to say everything we did that night, you know? But the next day we woke up and I felt like, well, A, I was a little hungover. I'm not going to lie. You were definitely hungover.
That's not true because I had to work and I felt great in the morning.
That you said, I feel like garbage.
Oh, and maybe it was a different day.
But I felt like we finally, that was the first time in a while where we're like, felt like us.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that's what we're kind of here to talk about, is to bring forward the fact, like you said, it's work. It's not easy. Sometimes you have to just throw everything aside, because we did. We didn't talk about work. We didn't talk about any of the issues we were having. We just kind of went out and we're like, okay, this is why Matt likes Leah. This is why Leah likes Matt. And it was kind of a very important reminder that, okay, despite the fact that the last week had been a complete shit show and we wanted to tear each other's heads off, okay, that's sort of subsided and it's back to normal, back into the grind. So it seemed at first.
Right.
It's still, as good as that night was, and we woke up the next morning feeling closer to normal.
Right.
It still wasn't over.
Right. So, you know, we went to work that day. It was fine. And then we had the kids all weekend, which, you know, when we're around the kids, like, we're not thinking about us. It's just, you know, we're in that mode of being around the kids, and we went and adopted the cat and we had a great time, a great weekend with the kids. And then Monday rolls around. We went through our day, most of the day.
Monday, which was originally one of the potential, our reschedule for the recorded date.
Right.
We said, all right, we're not going to do this Thursday because we need to work on ourselves. We felt like we were in a good enough place that maybe Monday we could actually go out and do what we imagined. However,
well, then we came to a concrete day of Tuesday. That was, we're like, okay, Tuesday is going to be our date night. So then on Monday, we're just like hanging around, like couldn't decide if I was going to make dinner. We're going to order out. And then Matt said one thing and I don't even remember. It was like, I can't even remember what it was.
I didn't say anything.
I can't remember.
You got set off by a text that we both mutually received.
Right. Over something that was not even a big deal. And I just started like crying. I was like so upset over something so insignificant. And he's like, what is wrong? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I want to eat dinner, but I don't want to go out for dinner. I want to make dinner, but we don't have any food to make. I was just like set off. And I truly, truly believe it was a combination of the last month of just feeling like so stressed out and feeling like we were at odds. And to me, I'm here in Pittsburgh. It's not like I can just run to my mom's house and like, which is something that you said you were going to do last week when we got in our fight. You're
go
like, fine, I'll
house.
Go to my parents.
Oh, I thought I was going to go to your mom's house during the argument.
You
That's
said,
my threat. That's when I pull out the heavy artillery. I go, yeah, watch this. I'm going to go to your mom's house.
Whatever. He threatened to go to his parents. That's like, cool. I don't have, my sister doesn't live here. My parents don't live here. I can't just go and talk to them and have them talk me off the, like, I just feel sometimes like, especially in this new city, I don't really know anyone here. We're in the middle of a pandemic. The one person I have where we've been at odds, it was just like work to me has been stressful. I just lost it on Monday. Like, what am I doing? And Matt was like sitting on the couch, like, are you okay? I was like, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. Like, just everything just caught up to me and I just was crying for no fucking reason. And then once I got it out and like, I think I had like a little talk with you, I'm like, I just feel so anxious. There's just so much happening. Finally got that cry out. And I feel like we're on the up and up over here.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. So then, okay, you guys, are you following here? Because
I'm lost.
You need to have
I
a notepad
this.
And like
this,
put
and
the
have,
dates down.
Yeah, I have no idea where we are chronologically
so,
right now or where we're going. So, Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus, take the wheel. That's not how she sings it.
I don't even know that
Carrie
was a song.
Underwood? Are you kidding, Carrie Underwood? Jesus, take the wheel.
I know who Carrie Underwood is. I didn't know there was a song called
Jesus
take
the
wheel.
Take the wheel.
I thought it was just like an old saying.
Jesus, take the wheel. Okay, anywho. We're finally towards the end of this story. Tuesday night, which was two nights ago, we are set to go on our date. I have reservations made. We're so excited. We kind of talked through what we're going to record for this podcast today. We're so excited to take you along on our date. And I had just got home from running errands. Matt was on the couch and I said, babe.
Wait, by the way, every bit of this story along the way has involved me being on the couch.
Were you not on the
At
couch?
At this point, I sound like just this lazy turd.
Were you not on the couch?
Probably.
You were.
Yeah.
But that's okay. He's not on the couch all day, every day.
I do stuff.
Right.
I was very productive this week.
You were. I'm very proud of you.
Anyway.
He's also going to the dentist today. love that dental journey for you?
I'm not really worried about the dental journey because my medical journey was a huge success. Side note, sidebar, I finally went to a doctor and got a full-blown physical for the first time in way too many years. Healthy as a horse.
My biggest question is, did he stick a finger in your butt?
No, he did not. He did, however, grasp opposing side and made me cough forcefully.
Wow. Sounds like Sunday night in our house.
Yeah, little known fact about Leah, she's got a big time coughing fetish. Oftentimes, I find myself waking up in the middle of the night to her hand clasped around my balls and her screaming violently at me to cough.
So fucking stupid.
Hey, I don't know. Hey, don't judge anyone for their kinks.
Okay, so we're about to go out for dinner on Tuesday night. And I made a little comment. Babe, you know, last night was so much fun, like hanging out. We like played Heads Up and we're drinking a little bit of wine, watching Family Feud. It's like, last night was so much fun. Like, I wish we could do that again tonight. And he goes, do you want to? And literally at that moment was when I knew this is the perfect man for me, because he agreed we should not go on a date for our own mental health and for our relationship. It was better to sit on the couch, watch some TV, and just chill, because we knew that that would make us happy. So let's stop giving in to all these other things we feel like we're supposed to do as a couple because we're supposed to go out or we had plans to go. That. And Tuesday night wasn't that amazing, or was it not amazing?
It was pretty great. That's the best part of having a good fight, is aggressively taking it out on one another on
and
the back end.
And making up.
That's right.
Do you truly, truly feel like we're on the other end of this?
Yes, I do, finally. Because I feel like we've had little glimpses over the past several weeks where it's like, oh, we have a cool day, or oh, that was fun. But then due to all the external forces in our life, and sometimes internal forces, we were just totally off our game. And I feel like we're on the downward slope in a good way.
Right.
It doesn't mean everything's peachy keen all of a sudden, but I think there's definitely a lot to be said for forsaking all of our plans and just all of these obligations that basically were self-imposed, but just say to hell with them and focus on what the problem is now. Maybe that could have been remedied had we done this a month ago.
Right.
To actually put in the work and sit down and say, okay, screw what we're supposed to do. Screw what we think we have to do. Screw what we have to do for the podcast or for work. It was like, all right, Matt and Leah, get back on the same page.
I don't know if you agree or if you're like this as well, but I feel like I put this immense amount of pressure on myself when I know we've had a rough week or a rough night or whatever. The next day I'm like, well, we have to have a perfect night because we've just been so shitty. And what if we have another bad night and then we're not going to be together anymore? Do you know what I mean? So I feel like I'm constantly putting pressure and like, well, we have to go out and have a great dinner and do this and do that to make sure we're back on track, rather than just, no, we need to just be and let things go.
On a long enough timeline, it just becomes a series of band-aids on axe wounds.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this will hold for the day, but the pressure's still building. It's like in Vegas Vacation when Clark keeps putting his bubblegum on the leak in the dam, and then another leak springs, and then the gum fills up with water, and eventually you've just got a big old mess on your hands.
Right.
So hopefully we are on the other side of the big mess, and we have to be perfectly honest with ourselves, saying it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Hopefully not to that extent. Yeah. Hopefully we don't let things boil over before adequately addressing them.
Right.
Because we have a podcast as though we know what the fuck we're doing.
But we don't.
We clearly
and I think that's
don't.
Why today was so important.
Right.
Like, it's not about preaching. Like, if you get in a fight, this is what you have to do. Because guess what? What we did the last month is not going to work for you and your partner.
Hell, what we've recorded and talked about over the past month, we didn't even live up to.
Right. We didn't take our own advice. And it was important, I feel, to come in here and not preach and not pretend or like insult your intelligence that we're out on this date and things are so great. No, because it's been the shittiest month, I feel like, in our relationship.
I would agree
with
that.
It's been nothing but fights and mood swings and on both of our ends. Like, it's just been so imperfect.
We here at Bear With Us are proud to admit to you that we are colossal failures. One thing as we're talking about this that comes to my mind is how the makeup process happened over a series of days. It didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like, oh, hey, we're going on this date and having a great night. Everything's cool. Because as you just disclosed, everything wasn't still cool. It bubbled back up over. But we had the conversation. It started at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then we had another one at about 11:30. And then sometime in the middle of the afternoon, it was like a process where it was like, okay, I don't have the answer right now. And you don't have the answer. Or I can't promise you I'm going to do what you want in that moment.
Right.
But it was kind of like the opposite of a slow burn.
Yeah.
Obviously, it didn't disintegrate. It was
like came together.
Yeah. It was like, okay, all right, I agree with that, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not ready to say that yet. I'm not ready to admit that fault yet. Fast forward a few hours. Now, maybe you're not focusing on that thing because it wasn't really a thing. It just came up in the heat of discussion or in your emotions were high. So, you know, when you get into a fight, you say a lot of stuff you don't mean or you exaggerate or you amplify things that are minor.
Right.
But over the course of a day, basically, we kind of got back on the same page through discussion and not arguing.
But it still wasn't fixed. It's like, okay, the discussion part was sort of, we were kind of getting there. Then the next day, it's slow. Like, it took, like,
right. That's
said,
what, but that's what I'm saying.
Days.
Like, it's not like one of these things because I think it's a lot. I know a lot of guys tend to go, all right, whatever it was, I'm just going to say I'm sorry and everything's going to be cool.
Right. But then you're going to bring it up a month later when you fight again because you don't agree that you're actually sorry.
Right, right. But I'm just saying, just in fighting and in arguments in general, it's kind of like, oh, okay, but yep, you're right. I'm sorry. On to the next thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't that easy.
No.
To make up, it took days, basically. Yeah. But, and I mean this from a positive perspective.
Right.
I'm just looking at it objectively, like listening to somebody going, well, I apologized to my girlfriend and she still doesn't want to talk to me. Okay, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that she's never going to speak to you again.
Right.
She just maybe isn't ready to talk in that particular moment. But now, after several days and you can't reach an accord, then you're f***ed.
And everyone has different ways of fighting and different ways of making up. Just because I can get over something doesn't mean you can get over something, or vice versa. You know, everyone deals with things differently. So I guess the moral of the story is,
don't listen to us.
Exactly.
There it is.
But what we do works for us. For the most part.
I'd say like a 95% success rate, still a win, right? That's still an A.
Right.
So there you go.
There we go. Well, good. This was, I think, therapeutic for both of us as well. Like, I was actually looking forward to coming in here and doing this because, I don't know, having these talks with you, we don't talk like that. Like, we'll talk about our fight, but we don't just sit and talk about the issue after it happened. You know what I mean? It's like kind of move on. And here we are now having this open conversation, and I feel...
It's definitely important.
Feel good.
See, I don't think we taught
anybody
anything.
I feel good.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you feel good.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Why? What is this? This is a song.
You're the one who said it.
No, I wasn't quoting a Carrie Underwood song.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't even know any Carrie Underwood songs other than the
well,
Before
I
He Cheats.
My
yeah.
Key into
that's the only
the
one.
Sound of it. Pretty little symptom far wheel drive. Right now, he's probably so dancing with the bleach blonde chick. She's probably getting frisky.
I like
right now, he's probably buying her some fruity little drink because she can't shoot whiskey. Right now.
Wow.
This was too heavy. We just needed to lighten the mood a little bit.
I was going to lighten the mood because my friend Danny Amigo the Devil does an amazing cover of that song. It's better than Carrie Underwood's.
Sing it.
No, I'm not going to sing it. I'm sending our listeners to
Jesus,
YouTube
take
or
the wheel.
Apple Music or wherever. This is just a free plug for my friend.
Also, why can't I think of how it goes? How is the tune of Jesus Take the Wheel? Like, why can't I think of it? I feel like I'm letting her down.
Yeah, you know, Carrie Underwood, she's really disappointed in you right now. This episode's brought to you by Magic Spoon. Growing up, cereal is one of the best parts of being a kid, but as we all know, we get old and we can't eat the same way we did when we were little because sugar and junk and all that nonsense inside of breakfast cereal is bad for you. I've been trying to cut down on carbs and sugar and unhealthy food and realized that basically I can't eat anything anymore except for Magic Spoon. Whenever I'm getting a craving for something sweet, whether it be in the morning, in the middle of the afternoon, or late at night, breakfast cereal from Magic Spoon is the trick. It's got zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. It comes in 4 awesome flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. Plus, they have special summer flavors available now. Check them out on Instagram. But this stuff tastes amazing. It's honestly way too good to be true. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Because Leah hates GMOs.
Get them out of here.
Go to magicspoon.com/bearwithus and grab a variety pack and try it today. We promise you won't be disappointed. Just make sure you use our promo code bearwithus at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/bearwithus and use the code bearwithus for free shipping. And thanks once again to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.
Speaking of singing, here's the mallet, never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Jesus, take the wheel. All right. Hey, Matt. Oh, wait. It's been so long since I forgot how to do question.
Oh, God. I thought we turned over a new leaf.
One, honey. Hey, Matt and Leah. First of all, listening to the podcast has helped me a lot, so thank you so much. Leah is so funny, and I love her voice.
My part helps her, just for clarification.
There's one thing I am very awkward about, and that is sex. My partner does all the work, and sometimes I feel bad. I feel like I can't be sexy, even though he says I am, or I'm scared to do something wrong. How can I improve with this and take on the dominant role? Love you guys.
From a guy's perspective, or from my personal perspective, being sexy is a category totally unto itself.
Right.
Being hot and being sexy are two different things to me.
Right.
If your man says you're sexy, believe him. It's just could be the way you carry yourself, the way you do something. It might make him wild. And if he's telling you that you're sexy, he's not lying to you. Guys don't make it a habit of promoting false compliments, especially to someone they're in a relationship with. It's different right. If it's like a night out, you're trying to
get laid.
Whiff your way down the bar skank ladder and throw out a few false compliments here. But when you're in a relationship with somebody, if he's into something you're doing, believe him. If you are interested, which is cool, I also want to commend you for having like the mindset to go, hey, this isn't my milieu. This is not where I'm comfortable. Don't be afraid.
Have a glass of wine. Loosen up a little bit. I'm not saying get drunk. Have one glass, okay? And maybe watch some porn. Watch some porn. I mean, this is what I'm going to say. Porn is not real life. So, like, if you're watching porn and, like, what your man is watching porn, that's not what real sex is going to be like, okay? But maybe you can get some ideas. Maybe you can suggest watching it together. Or maybe if you're not comfortable with that, watch some on your own and then, like, take a couple things that the girl does and then try that on your man. And if you have a glass of wine, you're not going to feel as silly. And I promise you, no matter what you do, your man is going to be into. Like, guys aren't thinking about the little details when you're having sex. They're just looking at their hot chick. He thinks you're sexy. Just do it. Like, who cares? What do you have to lose? There's no way you're going to do something that he doesn't like, unless you like stick a finger in his butt and he doesn't like that. But maybe just ask permission first.
Definitely ask permission. And don't keep hammering at home. It's not going to increase your chances.
But honestly, just especially this is your partner, like, you should feel comfortable around them. Just don't be afraid. Like I said, have a little drink, loosen up, and just, you don't have to try a million things at once. Try one new thing, and I guarantee you're like, oh, whoa, where'd that come from?
I still stand by my old theory that if you want something in the sexual neighborhood, put it out there.
She's just saying she doesn't want to just feel like she's just laying there making him do all the work. So, like, maybe, you know, you get on top of him, you know, kiss him a little bit, go down his neck, and then, you know, the rest, you know what to do. Come on. Question number two, honey. Hey, Matt and Leah, this is my situation. I'm a 28-year-old male. I consider myself an extrovert and normally talk to just about anyone and easily make friends with random strangers with no problem. But every time I'm around this one person, I get all tongue-tied. My body would tense up, can't think of the right words to say, or just not say anything at all to avoid making an ass of myself. Even when we're in a group of mutual friends, I get all flustered. My brain just goes dumb when I'm around her. I haven't experienced something like this ever before, and I have no idea what to do. Any advice would be a big help. Well, clearly someone's got a big old crush. Maybe she'll find it endearing. Maybe she thinks it's cute that you're, you know, a little nervous and tongue-tied. I think I would be flattered if a guy was, like, nervous around me.
I would think as long as you're upfront about it and not trying to play it cool.
Because then you're just going to look like a fool.
Then you're going to look silly. If you are up trying to talk to this girl and putting on some shtick, or like you're trying to play this game, look how smooth I am, you're setting yourself up for failure. Maybe be honest. And if you're talking to her and you do sound stupid, just put it out there. Just go, hey, listen, I'd like to go grab a drink or go get some coffee with you or something. And just be upfront. Say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I sound like a goof because I get tongue-tied.
Right.
To Leah's point, maybe it'll be endearing.
I think it would be flattering. I think if you were just like, listen, I feel like such a fucking idiot. Every time I'm around you, I get so nervous. And this isn't even me. Like, I never get nervous. All of a sudden, right off the bat, going to feel important. She's going to feel like, oh, wow, I make this guy nervous. That's cool. I think from a female perspective, it's very flattering. So if you're just honest and you say that, and then that breaks the ice. You don't have to worry about if you fumble over your words. Like, if you can joke around about it with her up front, then you have really nothing to worry about from that point on. I mean, it's basically like when Matt and I met. He was so tongue-tied because he actually is tongue-tied. And he's very nervous.
You bring that up all the time. That's like your favorite thing to bring up now.
So funny. You, someone who speaks for a living, who talks from the moment he wakes up to the moment you go to sleep, sometimes even in your sleep, you're tongue-tied. That's wild to me.
For people listening, being tongue-tied doesn't necessarily only mean that you can't speak or you stumble over your words. I'm literally tongue-tied. My frenum on the bottom of my tongue is attached almost to the very tip of my tongue. Therefore, I can only stick my tongue out about halfway. It looks like I feel silly. I feel inadequate, although I've been told otherwise.
You are anything but. Anyway, it was flattering the first time Matt and I were chatting. He was like, I just don't really know what to say. I'm like, I'm very nervous. You make me clammy. And I don't know what to do with my hands. It was really cute. And I was like,
you know
what? I feel
really warm.
When I'm around you, when I touch your breasts, they feel like a bag of sand. I was like, what? Okay.
She is a hoe. For show.
You better put your hoe on a leash. All right, last question. Question number three, honey. Hey, guys, I've been a fan of both of you, and you're one of my favorite celebrity couples. Are we celebrity couple? No, but that's cute. Thank you. I have a weird situation. I met my boyfriend weeks before quarantine, and now we've been together for 6 months, and we are always so happy together. Never fight, never a boring moment, even during quarantine. He's active Air Force and found out in August that he will be deploying for South Korea in December and will be gone for 1 year. We agreed to talk all the time and stay together. A few weeks ago, he found out he's not coming home after deployment, but the military is sending him permanently to Arizona. We are from New Jersey. I feel like the military has ruined our amazing relationship, and I saw a future with him. I want to take things one day at a time, but he's not thinking the same way as me. I just don't know what to do in this situation. Any advice? It sucks that he's getting deployed. Like, that's awful. But if what you feel like what you have is strong, and you're already thinking about him coming back in a year, and you were going to be okay in New Jersey, but now he's going to be in Arizona, like, you can make it through that year, right? I feel like it will suck, but you can keep in touch. However, if he's going to Arizona afterwards, I don't know. That definitely is tricky. But I will say, if you feel like it's something that you want to be in, like, I guess you have to relocate. That's what I would have to say.
I'm going to agree completely. If you have enough foresight and you feel strongly enough now that you're already looking forward to a year ahead from now, that you're trying to make this year with him on the other side of the world work, then, hey, you know what? New Jersey's not that great of a place.
Oh, babe, don't say
move
that.
Move to Arizona.
But you have to make the decision. She has to decide if she wants to pick up her life and move.
Agreed.
You know, and not everyone, like me, will just pick up and move for somebody. And I feel like you have to decide if this is worth it. At the end of the day, you can fly to go see your family. You can go do what you have to do. But if you don't feel like you're ever going to find someone as special as him, then maybe he's worth it.
The good news is you have a year to think about it while he's going to be gone. In the interim, send nudes. Trust me, he's going to need it. He's on the other side of the world. And if you want to remain fresh on his mind, that's a great way
to do it. Well, also, he needs to do stuff, too. You can't just, like, send nudes.
Well, he didn't write the letter. I'd have been like,
no,
hey,
I know.
Brother, pics all the time.
But I guarantee they're going to go through a plethora of emotions, like ups and downs, different decisions that are going to be. Guarantee you're going to get in a fight while he's there, and you're going to say, well, screw this. I'm not going to move there. Like, don't throw things at each other. You can't like throw it in his face. Well, I'm going to move there, or I'm not moving anymore. Don't play that game. Like, if you're going to fight about what you're fighting about, and then, you know, you're going to make up. But I mean, a year is a long time, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not that bad.
Just a reminder, in the state of Arizona, you're allowed to make left turns and pump your own gas.
Well, that does it, folks.
That was a great wrap up.
We made
that
it.
That was the most like, well, all right, we suffered through another one.
Well, I feel like this was heavy.
It was heavy. I think it was too heavy. I think the people are going to hate it.
Well, if they hate it, they hate it. But this is us.
That's right.
This is us being real. And I feel like it was important to address this rather than just come on the air today and be like, we're going to talk about the difference of we don't have the same favorite color today. So we're going to fight about that and teach you how to deal with your partner who looks at a different color. Do you know what I mean? I feel like
we
can't. I have
no earthly idea what you mean.
I just mean like we can't just come on here and act like everything's fine. We have to address what it's been like at least the last month. And I feel like we've been addressing it and are open every week. Oh, you know, things have been okay. We've been in a funk, but we're getting through it. No, we had to have a whole episode to really just vent and just make you guys aware that, listen, I know we always say we're not perfect, but we're really fucking not perfect at all.
Make sure you refill the mailbox because we read it all the time, as you know, and we love hearing that other people are just as f***ed up as we are.
We love the questions this week. The questions this week were
really
so good.
So
yeah.
bearwithuspod@gmail.com or send us a DM, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you follow us.
Leave us a review, a star, 5 stars, if you will.
Leave us 5 stars.
Yeah,
don't leave us 1 star. 1 star, like, that's just an insult. You went out of your way to rate us poorly.
Right.
And I don't think we've had that sort of negative effect on your life.
Right.
Unless you broke up with your significant other because of something I said, which is entirely possible. And if that's the case, we earned that 1 star.
Sorry about that, folks.
Goodbye forever.
Bear with us. Jesus, take the wheel.